In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today on my last full day of speaking here in the Philippines. So the little tour that I've been on in Oceania region of the world is coming to an end. Had an awesome week in Sydney, Australia, then in Papua New Guinea, speaking at the events to youth, young adults, general audiences, families in Port Moresby, and then the priest retreat in Mandy. Actually went to Mount Hagen first. I gave the homily, gave some talks there, and then we drove 2.5 hours north to Mandy, gave the priest retreat, then came to the Philippines, spoke in Alabang at a parish there, and a number of different talks, then to school teachers and educators, and then today at the University of St. Thomas. I'll be giving 3 talks, kind of like a trilogy, a series of what, and I'm trying, what did they title it? It was awesome. Faith That Fights Back, a 3-part wake-up call. They said, well, give us 3 talks around that theme. That's our theme. Faith That Fights Back, a 3-part wake-up call. Oh, I've got you. I was like, yes, please. And so I'm giving 3 talks that's going to focus on that theme, I think, very, very well. So I think a great way to add a punctuation mark to the tour and to my time here back in the Philippines. And again, I've enjoyed my time and I've enjoyed the food, although I'm still, you know, I allowed myself 1 treat day, not cheat day, treat day here in the Philippines. Because, I mean, how could you not have the pancit and the adobo and the lumpia and the mangoes, of course, and go to Jollibee, you know, and I mean, that's just part of immerse yourself in Filipino culture. And I did finally try balut. Now, if you heard me talk about my trip here last time, they offered me balut, which I didn't know what that was. They gave me an egg, which is a very large egg, so I knew it was a duck egg. And I'm like, oh, okay, I've never had a boiled egg before. That was a duck egg. Okay, cool. I crack it open, and inside are beak and feathers. So basically, it's a duck embryo. And I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I'm not putting that in my mouth. They go, no, put some vinegar on it and some salt and eat it. I'm like, no, you're nuts. But that was a more mature one. So I tried one that wasn't as developed because, again, I'm a very daring eater. And I've tried even durian, which smells like a corpse. But, you know, I want to immerse myself in the culture. And so so I tried a less developed balut egg. And I have to say, it's okay. I tried it and that's probably the best I can do. I won't eat it again. But at least I can say I tried it, just like durian. I will never put that in my mouth again, but at least I can say I can try it. And, you know, again, a sense of experiencing the culture, through the food, you know, so I'm again, grateful to God for my experience here. It's just been wonderful. Now, today, man, I got to tell you, my friends, I've been looking forward to today's show for a long time, not only because I love doing these playlist episodes with Ace, but because of the song. Now, some of you are going to say, Deacon, have you completely lost your mind with this song? But it's one of my favorite songs of all time. It's one of my desert island, like top 10 desert island, stuck on a desert island songs. And you're thinking, oh, this must be something by Van Halen. It must be some kind of maybe metal or some prog or some hard rock thing or some guitar thing. Nope. It's Could This Be the Magic by Barry Manilow. You're like, wait, what? Barry Manilow song is one of your favorite songs of all time? One of your desert island songs? Deacon, are you serious? Yes, I am. I mean, from the first time I remember, I was what, 10 or 11? And I heard that song. Now, first of all, I'm a sucker for strings and harmony. And so the song drew me in with the Chopin etude that he does in the beginning, drew me in because I was like, oh, that sounds like Chopin, but then what he does with the song is amazing. So Ace and I are going to talk about that song, and you're like, you're out of your mind, Deacon. No, I'm not. I love this song, and hopefully next time you hear it, you'll listen to it in a different way, not only musically, but also, of course, when you listen to the lyrics and we apply kind of a Christian, a Catholic faith-based perspective to the words of this very, very beautiful song, and beautiful in so many different ways. So I'm looking forward to exploring this with Ace today on our Beacon of Truth playlist episode. We're taking a look at Could This Be the Magic by Barry Manilow. And of course, we'd love for you to be part of the program today, my friends. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. As I've said many times on this tour, I'm so grateful for your prayers, for my travels, and for these talks. And I think it's been, hopefully, we'll see what the Holy Spirit does. Hopefully, it'll bear great fruit here in the Philippines. But also, I'm grateful for Vanessa Sanchez, who screens your calls every day, and Michael McCall, who manages the social media. But of course, I am most grateful for Ace McKay, my partner in, well, not my partner in crime, but I guess my partner in bringing a deeper love of Jesus Christ to you and your loved ones every day on Beacon of Truth. Ace, welcome to the show today, my friend.
Yeah, I've been telling people all day this is the softer side of Beacon of Truth as we
Yes.
choose a little Manilow. You know, we give you the riffs, but then we, you
Yes.
know, there's some chord progressions that just go right to your heart, and you're like, ugh,
Yes.
and you feel it. And I feel like Manilow has more than a handful of those like that.
Yeah, I mean, this song really speaks to me in a beautiful way. So I was very, when we were putting our list together, Ace, of the what songs that we're both gonna that we contribute to the show, like what we want to do, and this one was right near the top of my list. So I love this song. So I'm very much looking forward to exploring this with you today. So, for example, one of the things I like about this song is the way it builds. I mean, to me, this is the song of all songs that show how to build a song. Because one of the things you notice halfway through the song, literally halfway through the song, you have not heard yet bass or drums.
Right.
And he's like, wait a minute. The song's halfway over, and you still have not heard a bass note or a drum note, fill, lick at all. It's like, what? And then when you go back and listen, you see what he's doing. He's building layer upon layer upon layer. It's only in the second part of the song, as it's building to a crescendo, where all these other instruments and all the other layers start to build a little more quickly. And it just, for me, and the harmonies and the strings and the, oh, it just elevates me. I just love that song so much.
Well, and I also love from the standpoint it also broke barriers for radio because not a lot of, you know, songs over 4 minutes ever got played without some program director yelling, "That's too long," you know. The label going, "No, it's the greatest song ever written," and you know, and they managed to break through that. And even like when you listen to contemporary Christian stations now, they've got 5 and 8 minute songs that are worship that make it feel like church whenever you're listening to them, right? And I feel like it's those barriers that he's breaking down musically and all the structures that he's already doing. You know, as he says, he writes the songs that make the whole world sing. But in that, he's breaking down so many barriers through the song. And, you know, when you've got a 6 or 7 minute song, you're going on an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't be restricted by A&R people or radio people saying, well, it's not a radio song. I mean, they said this, they were saying the same thing about Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. It's too long, and but when they played it just, yes, it was very long for radio, just like Could This Be the Magic and a number of others as well, but it worked. It worked because, see, I think they underestimated people's attention spans. They were thinking about it like television. Oh, people can listen for about 8 to 9, 10 minutes, and then we have to have a commercial. And sadly, our brains have been programmed around television. We can only take information, so much information in at a time before we have to have a break. And I think that's why a lot of people are, why reading has really dropped, that people are getting more information from media than they are from reading and intellectualizing a little more. But that's why I love songs like this that break down those walls.
Yeah, plus you got to give the DJ a potty break. I mean, come on. He's been in the studio for hours playing
Yeah.
short songs. He needs a minute.
Yeah, there you go. I love that. So yeah, I'm looking for that. Of course, we're not going to play the song, but we can look at the lyrics and then talk about musically what's happening, which I'm very much looking forward to doing.
Yep.
All right, Beacon of Truth playlist episode today, my friends. We're taking a look at Could This Be the Magic, one of the most popular songs by Barry Manilow. Would love for you to be part of the program today, my friends. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yeah, like a sped up version of Bad to the Bone or something.
That's right.
Love the piano.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Playing those high keys.
Yeah. Want to change? Yeah. Four. Oh, yeah. Turn around.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Ba 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 ba.
Let them go.
That's it. Get out of the way, boys. I gotta play.
See, I love the other instruments, the guitar, the bass, the drums, just providing that that background, that tapestry, so that the piano player can paint.
Yeah.
All over those changes, right? That piece progression. Love that. That is awesome. Yeah. Woo! Good job, Ace.
Tip your waitress. We'll be back in a minute.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, love it. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Simmers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and we have a Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. And we're going to be taking a looking at, yes, you heard me correctly, Could This Be the Magic by Barry Manilow is the song we're going to take a look at today. I love these episodes where we take a song and we look at the lyrics of the song through a faith perspective. But I picked this song not only because of the lyrics, but because of the way the song builds. So as we talk about the song and the faith-based components, we're going to talk about how the song builds, just like we build our relationship with God over a lifetime, right? And so this song builds in such a way that it comes to a crescendo. And our crescendo is what? At the end of our life, where God's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff, right? And we want to be where the sheep are, right? We want to bear where the wheat is. We want to bear fruit of our lives, and the fruit of that is obviously the ultimate fruit is heaven, right? Life with God forever. But we spend the rest of our lives building, and so I want to play on that aspect, the musical and the lyrics as well. Could This Be the Magic by Barry Manilow is our Beacon of Truth playlist song for today. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, my friends, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, as you look to decorate this summer or just looking to spruce up maybe elements in your home, Our Lady of Mount Carmel tapestry wall hanging now available in the religious catalog. And looking at this, it's pretty cool. I mean, just the detail of the art is something that you will definitely want to display in your home if you want to check it out. And really, just to find it, go to the religious catalog at ewtnrc.com and just type in Our Lady of Mount Carmel tapestry. This is a wall hanging, or just wall hangings, and any of them that we have right now are available. So check it out in our religious catalog, ewtnrc.com.
All right, my friends, when you hear that music, that means it's time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is we take one of the psalms from the Book of Sung Praises, the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, that we hear in each and every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we connect that psalm to your everyday lived experience. And, of course, I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms. This was a newer translation of the Grail Psalms that we got after Vatican II that is currently being used in the Liturgy of the Hours. And this is a revised version of the Grail Psalms that have been approved for use in the church by the bishops and compiled by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And again, I use this version because it's more accurate to the Hebrew. Okay, now we're going to take a look at several verses in Psalm 106. Okay, so Psalm 106 is in book four of the Psalms, Psalms 90 to 106. So it's also a psalm that appends book four of the Psalms. So just like we looked at Psalm 89 the other day, right? Just like Psalm 89, Psalm 106 is the end of one of the books of the Psalm, book four. That means it has a doxology at the end of that psalm. We're not going to be looking at that today. But also Psalm 106 and book four are one of the psalms that doesn't have any attribution. In other words, we don't know who wrote it. It doesn't say, you know, in fact, most of the books in book four of the Psalms, we don't know who wrote the Psalms. But of course, Psalm 90, we know that Moses wrote that psalm. And we also have Psalms attributed to David, because David is the only psalmist that has Psalms in all five books of the Psalms. David's the only one. But Psalm 106 is typical of this section of the Psalms, no attribution. So it simply starts off, Alleluia. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That's how it starts. But we're diving in today at verse 6. All right, so if you have your Bible, Psalm 106, verse 6. Like our fathers, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Our deeds have been evil. All right, so they're recognizing the fact, okay, we've sinned. We've messed up. Now, again, sin doesn't mean that we're bad people. Sin means that we're human, that we make mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes can be really big, scary, messy mistakes, which is why we need God's healing and God's mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, here it says, like our fathers, we have sinned. So they recognize the fact that they're not just talking about generational sin, but that we've committed the same sins that our fathers committed, which is what? Not trusting God, worshiping the gods of the culture around them, not putting their trust fully, not being the witness and example of what it means to be in relation with God to the other pagan nations around them so that they too can enter into relationship with the Lord. No, they've acquiesced, they've given in, and started thinking like the pagan cultures around them. Instead of putting on the mind of God, they've accepted the mind of the culture. And they recognize their sinfulness. And so God, again, in his mercy and his love, allows the natural consequences of those decisions to happen. So when you turn your back on God, when you walk away on God, okay, you don't want to be part of my life. I'm not going to force myself on you. I'm not going to force you to love me. I still love you, but okay, you want the life that you want? Okay, here it is. And so, again, it's not a punishment by God. It's recognizing the fact that I messed up, that I sinned, I made this decision, I need to take responsibility for it, I need to admit my mistake, and come back into relationship with the Lord, right? And so the writer here of Psalm 106, I think, is recognizing this. Like our fathers, we have sinned. So we're continuing the same pattern as those that came before us. We have done wrong and our deeds have been evil. Lord, I acknowledge it. I admit it. What I did was wrong. The prodigal son, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And it continues in verse 7. Our forebearers, when they were in Egypt, did not grasp the meaning of your wonders. Right? They didn't understand what you were trying to do in their life. Here you are doing these incredible, like for example, again, back looking back at Moses, God is doing these incredible miracles, right? Bringing darkness, blood in the river, you know, the locusts, you know, the plagues, all these different things that are happening. And yet they still didn't grasp the meaning of what God was trying to do for them. So sometimes God makes it obvious. And even then, because of our sin, we can't see how God is trying to work in our lives because that sin is a barrier. So we have to remove that barrier and allow so we can see clearly and enter more deeply into what God is trying to do in our life, right? And so the writer of this psalm recognizes that fact. And then the last part of verse 7, talking about the ancestors and in a sense them as well. They forgot the great number of your mercies. Right? I love that, the great number of your mercies. In other words, how over and over and over again the Lord was almost relentless in providing love and mercy to his people, of showing his face to them, of showing them, see how much I love you, look what I'm doing for you. They forgot. At the Red Sea, they defied the Most High. Right? They defied the Most High. Yet he saved them for the sake of his name, in order to make known his power. So what's happening here? If the people are doubting God, but if God doesn't fulfill his promise, then the other pagan cultures, the other people around the Israelites, seeing and watching what's happening to them, will say, well, what kind of God is that? God brought them out of Egypt just to allow them to die in the desert? What kind of God is that? You know, leading, they were better off being slaves. And this was the thinking of the Israelites, remember? Moses, they got to the Red Sea. Moses, what are you doing? We're in this desert here. Now we come to the sea. Look behind us, Moses. Look, there's the armies of Pharaohs, the chariots and the charioteers. They're marching upon us. Why'd you do this? Let's just go back and be slaves, right? They forgot what God is doing in their life. And so God saved them so that his name could be glorified even in the hardships of the people that he's trying to save. And so how does God do this? Verse 9, he rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. He led them through the deep as through the desert. Right? So God leading us out of the murkiness, leading us out of the confusion, leading us out of the darkness into his own beautiful light. Out of the desert experience into the oasis of his love, the oasis of his mercy, drinking from the wellspring of his salvation, right? Drinking from the blood that flowed from the cross, the blood that gives us life. He saved them from the hand of the foe. He freed them from the grip of the enemy, right? So, yes, now, Lord, we forgot. Our fathers have forgot, but now we recount the story. We recount of how you brought them out of the darkness into your light. You freed them from the grip of the enemy. And so many times the enemy is this morally relativistic culture, this culture that is lost. And Lord, you freed us from the grip, my mind intellectually. You freed me from the neo-paganism and the practical atheism way of thinking. You've brought me out of the darkness of thinking that it's all about me, myself, and I, and that's the Trinity that I worship. You brought me out of that, Lord, and you showed me a better way. You showed me a more spacious plain upon which, as the sheep, I can graze on in safety and in joy and in peace. Right? You've brought me to that place, Lord. I love that. And then finally here, the waters covered their oppressors. Not one of them was left alive. So when we put our trust in the Lord, it says that, he will wipe away all those things that distract us from him, that turn our hearts away from him. But we have to want that. We have to desire that. We have to desire holiness. We have to want to be in this relationship. We want God's love and mercy more than we want sin and separation from that love. And so it takes the work on our part to remember that beautiful living memory of the Israelites that draws deeply into the heart of Christ. All right, my friends, Beacon of Truth playlist. Could this be the magic by Barry Manilow? Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Sounds like you really got me.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's got that obviously the second part of that.
I was thinking more, take it a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, AC/DC. Yeah, you're right.
I love that scene in School of Rock where Jack Black is during the credits and he's jamming with the kids and they're doing the AC/DC song and they're like, getting ripped off, getting underpaid. Like, and the kids are echoing back. It's just a cool moment.
Any of the plays that your kids have done, have they ever had to play instruments or no?
Not on stage, no. It's just all singing and dancing. So, and my son's more the musician than my daughter, but I don't know if I've told you, but they just recently made the headliner ensembles again. So they'll be back on stage again for the school year in the same group this time because they're both going to be high schoolers. So kind of proud of them.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, so congratulations to them. That's awesome.
Never a dull moment when they're in show mode because they're coming home, singing the song, showing the dances. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Again, beautiful memories that they'll hold in their hearts for their entire life, even if they never pursue a career in acting or doing Broadway or music will always be a part of their life regardless.
For sure.
But whether they pursue careers in that or not, they'll have these amazing memories from this awesome time where it was like almost like the center of what they're doing, you know?
It's true.
Love that. All right, I'm Deacon Harold Burke Simmons, listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's a Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. We're taking a look at Could This Be the Magic, a 1971 song by Barry Manilow. And you're thinking, Deacon Harold, what's wrong with you? But I love this song for so many reasons. That's right. I love this song for so many reasons, both musically, lyrically. And so we're going to take a look at that. Ace and I are going to dive into this today. Beacon of Truth playlist, Could This Be the Magic by Barry Manilow. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, as we talk about music today, we always get to talk about the great conversations. Each and every weekend, I host a show called Catholics Coast to Coast, where every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern, Sunday 6 p.m., you can check out some of these conversations as you deepen your walk with God this summer. All these available for you. Easy to find over 100 different podcasts at Podcast Central when you go to ewtn.com/podcast and then join me this weekend for Catholics Coast to Coast on EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, it's time for the Beacon of Truth playlist song, Could This Be the Magic by Barry Manilow. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Now, when I first heard this song, I must have been about 10 years. Wait. Yeah, when I first heard this song, probably about 9, 10 years old, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved the song from the first moment I heard it.
Yeah.
Obviously, the at the beginning, the Chopin etude, dun, 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 dun. In fact, when I first heard it, I thought it was like, that's weird that this station's playing Chopin.
Right.
And you know, it was like, you know, one of the FM stations that were very popular. I grew up in the New York, New Jersey area. So obviously the radio was huge back then. It was all about radio. Now it's all about podcasting and apps and things like that. Mm-hmm. But back then, obviously it was actual radio. And I remember listening to the song like, wow, they're playing Chopin. But then obviously as the song continued, I realized, oh, wait a minute. It's just a little play on the Chopin etude. So that's what drew me into the song. It's just the piano. So it's like the first number of bars, and then it starts to build on top of that. You know, it's just like he's adding another layer, then another layer, and then another layer, you know, and I just love the way that song builds. I just love the way the song draws you in, even before he even starts singing, right? And right. Then, of course, the lyrics start. Now, it says the song was also written by Adrian Anderson. And I know that Barry Manilow was part of a group and that this song, I think, was Adrian Anderson was either in that group with him or she wrote the song. But then Barry Manilow did his own take on this. And obviously he's remembered as the one as the writer and performer of this song. And so the lyrics start off right. Spirit move me every time I'm near you. You know, whirling like a cyclone in my mind. I love, again, he talks, first thing he says, spirit. of course, reminds us of the Holy Spirit,
Right.
right? And that God is always near to us. He says, Spirit, move me. You know, I love that. In a sense, we also, as believers in Jesus, open ourselves to the Spirit that came upon the church at Pentecost, right? The Spirit that came into our mother's wombs when the sperm and the egg hit, and God infused that embryo, that new life with the soul. You know, the Holy Spirit was there. You know, the Holy Spirit that comes upon the altar and changes bread and wine into God. You know, the Holy Spirit that works in the sacraments, that these efficacious signs of God's love and mercy in our lives. So we just call upon the Holy Spirit to be with us. You know, we pray to the Holy Spirit to make us help the right choice, make the right decision. You know, as we discern God's will, we ask the Spirit to be with us as we travel. You know, before we eat, before all these moments in our lives, we ask the Spirit to be with us. And I love the way that Barry Manilow starts off this song about wanting to be moved by the Spirit every time I'm near you. Let the Spirit move him.
Yeah, and so many times, whether it's our relationship with God or people or experiences we've had, we're trying to get back to a feeling or an emotion that we once had or that we've heard of others having. They're like, I long for that. And so what I love in that is, how do you reference a spirit that you don't even know of? And are you experiencing, again, we're not over-spiritualizing an artist that may not be in a headspace of faith, but our filter is what we hope to accomplish with our playlist additions, is so that we are hearing these and applying it within our own lens. Because again, the true Holy Spirit is what orchestrates and helps us to guide our actions as we navigate our faith, as we navigate our decisions on a daily basis, not to be caught up in just a Sunday morning feeling. It is a matter of, am I truly going deeper with God in the decisions that I'm making every day?
Yes, that's right. That's right. And experiencing that closeness in that process.
Yeah.
That you're not just intellectualizing it, you're just not trying to figure it out on your own, but you're asking God into that space to help make those decisions, you know. And so as he's singing this, you know, so it's just a piano, then he sings these first couple verses, sweet Melissa, angel of my lifetime. So obviously here, he's talking about a relationship here, right? But we can also say, you know, the angel of my lifetime, you know. So as we're thinking about the Holy Spirit, we think about those people in our lives that are meaningful to us, you know, and how we ask the Spirit not just to be with us, to bring them into deeper relationship with this person, but maybe to bring healing. Right. Maybe we have someone that we're estranged from, someone we're no longer talking to, someone we're angry at, someone who frustrates us, someone who abused us, someone, you know, that we're on the outs with for whatever reason. You know, we ask the Holy Spirit to open my heart to a forgiveness, you know, answer to all answers I can find. Well, the only one that can answer all the questions is Jesus.
Yeah.
And the way we get the answers to the questions is to open ourselves deeply to him, you know. And so, sweet Melissa, angel of my lifetime, that's when the first strings come in, right? So it's just piano, then his voice in the piano, and then subtly the strings start to come in. And then we get to the chorus, baby, I love you. Come, come, come into my arms. Let me know the wonder of all of you. And so now we have another layer of strings during this part. And I love this. He asks for the Spirit to come. He's thinking of this person who's important in his life. And then he says, I love you. Come, come into my arms. Let me know the wonder of all of you. And that's what we want. We want all of God. We just don't want part of the Lord. We want everything that God can give us. We should be incorporating that into our lives, allowing space in our hearts and making room in our hearts for God to come in, and for the Holy Spirit to come in, God the Holy Spirit to come in, and to work on us, to work through our stuff, so he can bring us to a place of joy and peace, and so we can know the wonder, all the wonder of what God wants to do in our lives.
Yeah, and it's also a reminder that often until you do have that relationship with him, we fill our hearts with people and the love of others to try to make us feel complete, feel whole, be one, you know, with ourselves or to be one with someone else. And the only way I've ever been able to be one with my wife is with the help of God. And it's because I am one with him in order for that to even happen. But it's the God-shaped hole that we talk about on a regular basis. As we try to force other things or other people or other types of love into that position, it continues to make us feel empty, which makes us think, well, now this relationship doesn't feel like it did in the beginning, or it's not fulfilling me like I thought it was going to. And that's because we're trying to put people and earthly love, you know, romantic love, in a place that is actually supposed to be the relationship with the Holy Father.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And that's so important, that we think that these people in our lives can somehow fulfill us.
Yeah.
Right. But there's places in our hearts, places in our lives that are there specifically for God to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have that, what we call a God-shaped hole in our hearts, nothing on this earth can fill that, not even a spouse.
Yeah.
You know, we love our spouse with the love and the heart of Christ, as you were saying. But there's still that space where only God can come in.
Yeah.
Only that space where we can know his wonder and know his love, right?
Yeah.
I'm Deacon Harold Brooks. Simmons listening to Beacon of Truth, our playlist episode today. We're taking a look at Could This Be the Magic by Barry Manilow today. And if you want to chime in, send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. All right, so in the second part of this chorus here, he says, and baby, I want you now, 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 and hold on fast. Now, there's acoustic guitar that comes, a classical acoustic guitar that comes in. Again, another layer here. Now with the piano and his voice and the strings, the two sets of strings, and now the guitar comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he's building this song. So he's saying, come into my arms. Let me know the wonder of all of you. I want you now. Hold on fast. Could this be the magic? And of course, we want God to deal with whatever we're dealing with. We want him to deal with it now. But we have to remember, we don't serve a fast food God.
Right.
Sometimes we have to be patient and wait on God to act. So yes, Lord, we want you. We open ourselves to you. We're opening our hearts to you. We want to know all your wonders. But I want you now, mm-hmm. right? And so sometimes that wanting, not just God fixing things now, but God, now I want you. Before, mm-hmm. I wanted these other things, but now I realize what I really want, what my heart is really yearning for, my heart is really desiring, Lord, is you,
yeah.
ultimately, right? I love that realization.
Yeah, and, you know, the basic gist of the song, Could This Be Magic at Last? I mean, we all, well, not all, when we're in a place where we're not talking or having a relationship with God, we assume anything that doesn't make sense is just magical. It was a magical night. It was magical relationship, magical. I mean, and again, it's not a sleight of hand trick or hocus pocus that God is putting into our lives to, you know, suddenly everything feels beautiful and wonderful and it'd always be like this. No, it's a moment. And just like we have moments with God, but the idea is to have moments with him every day so that when the world is not feeling magical, that we know that we're leaning into him for our guidance, our wisdom, our leadership.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, yeah. So riffing off of that, you know, could this be the magic? Because you're right, magic is a sense of illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So magic is all about illusion, sleight of hand. But we're saying, could this be finally, Lord, the time where I'm uniting my life to you in such a way? We talk about the different levels of spiritual growth.
Yeah.
We talk about the purgative, the unitive, the illuminative. So we purge ourselves of all those things that separate us from God's love. And then our minds become illumined by the light of God's wisdom in our minds and our hearts. And then we unite, and then that leads to that unitive aspect. We unite ourselves with him. So maybe we can look at this and say, is this finally the time at last, Lord, where I've reached that stage where all I want is you? I don't want those other things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If I reached a level of spiritual maturity where I'm no longer attracted to those sins of the past, that doesn't mean that I'm no longer a sinner in need of God's mercy. That's going to last me my whole life until I die. But am I desiring you now? Have we in a quote unquote magical, have we reached that place in our relationship, Lord, where I am opening myself to you in such a powerful and deep way that I no longer desire those things that I was attracted to before? We see this so beautifully in Saint Augustine's Confessions, right? Once he got it, once the light went on, he's like, oh my goodness, now I understand. You know, could this finally be the place where my heart and my mind and my soul has always wanted to be? You know, I love that.
Amen.
Then he has the second verse, Lady, take me up upon a hillside, high upon where the stallion meets the sun. Now, it's very interesting. When I was reflecting on this verse, you know, I was thinking about how the Jewish people have kind of a, in their cosmology, the way they think about the levels of heaven, right? Like St. Paul says, well, you know, I was taken up to the third heaven. Like, the third heaven, what is he talking about? Well, we've talked about this before. You know, we had the first heaven, which is the sky, the clouds, and all that. And then we have it separated by a firmament. And then we have the second level, which is the solar system, the stars. And then we have the third heaven where God resides, where God lives. And so he says, take me up this hillside where the stallion meets the sun. Lord, draw me up into your life. Bring me up out of this pit, up this hill. You know, set me upon this strong foundation. You know, when I think of a hill, I'm not thinking of a grassy hill. I'm thinking more like a rocky hill. More of a foundational kind of hill where you feel safe up there, you know, and as you move up, you're also moving closer to God. So God, bring me up closer to you, right? Bring me out of this, Lord. Take me up to where you are. You know, let me with the help of the Holy Spirit, let me see you. Not face to face. Of course, we can't see God face to face until we're dead, right? Since no one sees the face of God and live. But help me maybe see, as you bring me up out of this, help me see your face in others, in the poor, in the broken, in those that I love, in my children, in my boss at work, in music, and all these that help me to see you more clearly as you draw me up into your life.
Yeah. And I like the visual of this line too, because of, you know, being one with nature, right? I love a good sunset, sunrise, you know, especially if it's on a beach, you know, because there's just something cool over the land and the water and the sky, like it's all meeting, right? And you know, the visual of that, of where meets the sun, like I feel like those are in those moments where you really see God in his canvas of our lives, where he's painting with big strokes and small lines and all the details, so that when we look back at what he's doing, we see the full picture.
Yes, exactly. And that full picture gives us a perspective, right, on how we've grown over time in our faith walk. That's why I always recommend people go to a general confession. That's when you go into the confessional and you confess all the sins you committed in for your entire life. Then you say, why would I do that? Because the sin has already been forgiven. Yes, that's true. But that moment of catharsis in that confession, we realize this sin no longer has power over me. This sin no longer has control over me. You know, I am walking closer with God than where I thought I was before. You know, it's those moments of realization that give us a beautiful perspective that God has been working in my life. Even if I haven't seen it, God has been patient and God has allowed me. In cooperation with the Holy Spirit to draw me more closer to Him, closer even to where I thought I was before. You know?
Amen.
And I love this last little line. I could love you, build my world around you, never leave you till my life is done. I mean, there's God again, the Trinity. He loves us, that mutual love, the exchange of love, life, intimacy, communion between us and God. We build our world around not our spouse, not people in the culture, not a mindset or an ideology in the culture. We build our lives around faith in Jesus Christ and our faith. And he'll never leave you till my life is done. And it's again, it's symbiotic. God will never leave us, and we will never leave him. And the thing is, till our life is done, even after our life is done, life is just beginning, right? Because now we're in the life that's the fulfillment of this life on earth. So we're transitioning from one life, an earthly life, a temporal life, to a transcendent life, life with God forever in heaven. You know, and so we never want, so we, this reminds me, we never want to leave God. We want to build everything we're doing around God. And this was a transformation that happened to me. I started, you know, with my weight loss and the body stuff that, you know, the exercise, you know, I want to build that around my faith, not just do it on my own. So when I began to do that, you know, spiritually things began to change. You know, and so we always want to make God a part of every single aspect of our lives.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I like transitioning our prayers from being a Lord, do this, do this, do this, do this, or show me this, show me this, show me this. Once you've seen God work for a period of time in your life, just thank him for what he's about to do. Like to be in a frame of mind of, I don't know how this is going to work out, Lord, but I know you've got it, and I thank you for what's to come. Because then that keeps you in a frame of mind of, it's not a woe is me, it's not a sins of the past, it's not a sins of a father even. It is literally me with God and knowing that he's worked before. Why should I doubt him? And if you're in a place of thanksgiving for something that hasn't even come and you don't know when it's going to, you just know based on the fact of his history, he never fails. His timing's perfect. All the things that we know, we're finally putting into practice. Like we've talked about, when you're playing music and you play a wrong note, you quickly go to the note because you're trained and you've practiced. You know the choreography of your fingers and your hands and your body, right? It's the same thing with our hearts. We have to have our heart's posture has to be that of Christ, so that we're like, okay, I know God's going to intervene, or he's already taken over this situation. I just have to stay out of his way.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right. See, I was saying, let the Holy Spirit work. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today it's a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. We're taking a look at Could This Be the Magic? The 1971 hit by Barry Manilow. Today on Beacon of Truth, would love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And now, see, what's interesting now, the rest of the song basically repeats. It's just the chorus over and over again. And so, you know, we've already talked about the chorus, but here's the thing, what I love. Every 8 bars, another instrument, another layer, another instrument, another layer. Then the harmonies come in. And then finally, halfway through the song, the bass and the drums come in. First, it's just the snare on 2 and 4, you know, and the bass is just simple. And then it builds from there. And all of a sudden, you know, and then the voices come in and the harmonies, it builds to this crescendo. And he's just repeating over and over again. Could this be the magic? Come into my arms. Let me know the wonder. I want you now. Hold on fast. Could this be the magic? Just over and over. And every time he sings, it builds a layer. So when we think about our life, you know, now that I'm in my late 50s, you know, I think about the layers that God has built upon my life over the years, from the time I was a teenager and then in my 20s and in the monastery and then meeting my wife and then getting married and having kids and the diaconate and my career choices and decisions, what has God has done, and then all those layers, you know, and it's just it's repeat. He, you know, it's repeating the course, but it's the course of our life that repeats. Because even though we may change, something that never changes, Lord, come into my arms. Let me know the wonder of all of you. Could finally, am I getting to a place in my life where I want only you? And that is just a theme that continues to build in our life if we continue to draw closer to him.
Well, think about when you're praying the rosary, you're saying words that are similar. What if there was an orchestra that's laying back on top of that, that with every rosary you pray, you're getting another layer of instrumentation, right? And so it's sometimes saying words over and over again, it's not a matter of that no one's hearing you. It's that there's a layer process to that.
Exactly. It's not just mindless repetition. And through those words, it's drawing you into a place where you can actually reflect more deeply. Yeah. And the same thing in our lives, sometimes we have these repeating patterns of God coming in and out of our lives that helps us to build us to a place where he needs us to be.
Amen.
I love that. All right. So my friends, tomorrow we're going to talk about the natural law, that desire that's placed in our hearts for where we can come to know God by reason alone. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. And until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.